Thursday night, we have the premiere of ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble. It's executive produced by our very own Chinee Ogumike. It explores the season dedicated to social injustice and everything the players overcame to get through it. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it will be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. Meanwhile, a little eye candy in the NHL last night. Check this out. Overtime, Taylor Hall. Three guys around him. Look at the fancy moves. Putting it past the Islanders' leg for the score and the win. Take a look at that. Taylor Hall going 1-on-3 and winning. That is a game-winning spectacular goal. Bruins take it by a final of 3-2 in overtime. And with that, I welcome you back to our studio. I am Greeny. This is Get Up. We come to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 every weekday morning, and we are jam-packed. Here we go. The menu for hour number two is on the way. It's time to get up with the other shoe waiting to drop. Aaron's most famous teammate tells the truth. It is time to panic in Green Bay. Meanwhile, it is also Tebow time, right back where it all began. We'll tell you exactly why they did it and exactly what it means. Plus, Russell Westbrook does it, and he raises these questions. Is he the most underrated player ever, or the exact opposite? We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now with that man, Russell Westbrook, the record breaker of the night. Entered the night looking for one more triple-double to set the all-time mark. Late second, already had the points that he needed. Now we got a turnover. Now we got Russell throwing it up. We got Rui Hachimura throwing it down. Westbrook would take care of the assists in the third quarter, and that set the stage for this history in the fourth. He needs one rebound for the triple-double. And there it is, 182 triple-doubles from Russell Westbrook passing Oscar Robertson on the all-time list. Meanwhile, good game under a minute to go. Wizards down 3, 35 seconds. Westbrook driving, getting it to fall. No call. So it's a one-point game under 10 seconds left. Hawks turn it over. Here we go for the win. Russell, 4, 3, 2. It's up, and it's no good. Russell Westbrook, 28 points, 21 assists, 13 boards, sets the record. What a night. Russell, let's talk.
Normally, I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will, just because, you know, I'm so grateful for the ones before me and so blessed and thankful for the man above for allowing me to go out and do what I do. And I humbly say this, but like I said, I'm the best playmaker in this league. I take a lot of pride in finding ways to make my teammates effective, make the game easy for them. And I've been blessed with the ability to be able to play this game at a level that nobody else can play it at. And I won't stop until I can't play no more.
Now, what a night for Russell Westbrook. Here's the top five list of the most career triple-doubles. You see the names behind him, all legends. Three of the four are Hall of Famers. The fourth is LeBron James, who obviously is walking right into the Hall of Fame. And frankly, so is Westbrook, now sets the all-time record. Meanwhile, speaking of Hall of Famers, how about the run Steph Curry is on? The Warriors taking on the number one team in the West, the Utah Jazz. Third quarter, Warriors up 10. And Steph trying to help his team pull away. You know he does it from the outside. How about taking everybody to the hole? Warriors pulling away. But wait, a buck 15 to go. We got a ball game. Jazz are in it. Only down one. And it was Jordan Clarkson who went nuts. He had 24 points in the fourth quarter alone. Team made 13 threes. Jazz take a two-point lead. 25 seconds to play. Still a two-point game. Steph Curry looking for the lead. It's up. It's no good. He was 3 of 13 from 3. But wait, we got an offensive rebound. Draymond. Steph? Yes. He would score 36. Warriors retake the lead. One last chance for Utah. Down by 3. 5 seconds left. Clarkson. He had 41 on the night. But that one's not even close. And the Golden State Warriors get an interesting and important win, 119-116. And I say important as I give you a look at the Western Conference standings. Here we go. Warriors currently a half a game ahead of the Grizzlies for the 8th seed. Right now, our analytics give Golden State a 69% chance of playing the Lakers in the 7-8 game in the play-in tournament. Boy. Would that be fair? Might be the highest rated game of the entire playoffs as I bring Big Perk back into the... Let's just talk for a minute here about what Steph is doing. I grant that he's not going to get all the way to being the MVP, but is he the single best show in the sport right now?
Granny, you know that. He's the greatest show on earth, and I'm glad you don't have Ryan Clark hating self on here today because you and I both agree. But Granny, look, what Steph is doing right now is just simply beautiful. It's amazing. I mean, the way that he's he's a masterpiece, right, for shooting the ball. But people don't give credit to Steph Curry enough about how he's able to score the ball, the way that he finishes around the basket, the way he moves without the ball. It's just so graceful to watch. It's so fun to watch. Look at the pose. Look at the smile right there, Greeny. This is what I'm talking about. He brings a certain type of joy to the game that makes a 89-year-old grandmother of Kendrick Perkins smile.
100% right. And it is a season in which they desperately needed this, and that's why I say he deserves consideration for MVP, because sometimes the things you do above the game matter. Meanwhile, I want to go back to Westbrook, because you were on with us about a half hour ago, and you said you think Russell Westbrook is a top 5 point guard of all time. And it's fascinating because you can classify him so many different ways. Like, I just jotted it down. You could also make an argument right now, and I'll give you the floor, that he's, at best, the fourth best point guard in the league right now. Chris Paul, Dame Lillard, Steph Curry. If you wanted to put LeBron James in that conversation, you could put him at 5. So how do we quantify exactly what Russell Westbrook is?
I mean, he, like I said before, G, he's something that we've never seen before. And look, we will never see another Russell Westbrook. It will never be another guy that could mimic Russell Westbrook. Like, we're witnessing LeBron James move to the point guard position and somewhat mimic Magic Johnson. We've watched guys mimic John Stockton like CP3. But when you have game changers like Russell Westbrook, the most athletic point guard to ever walk the planet Earth in NBA history, the way that he's capable of dominating for us scoring-wise, and then he's able to dominate for us creating for others, that's a skill set in itself, because you have to draw attention, being able to make passes on time, on target, and then his rebounding. And I get it. Some people say, oh, he gets a couple of defensive rebounds because his other teammates blocks out. Well, guess what? He still have to put forth the effort. And Greeny, two things. His conditioning is probably some of the greatest that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. He don't get tired. And then when you talk about his competitive nature, he's going to go down as one of the all-time greatest competitors that the NBA has ever seen.
That is an excellent argument. I buy every single word of it. He is unquantifiable. He is unique unto himself and deserves his place in the history of the game. That's really well said. Perk, thanks for being here.
I agree. I'm enjoying you this morning. I tell you that much. I'm really I enjoy you every morning, but I'm enjoying you right now.
Well, you tend to enjoy me more when I agree with you, which happens about 50% of the time. You're the best. Thank you, Big Perk. We'll see you in a little bit. Meanwhile, back to the football here, and no news from Aaron Rodgers. But that's not good news for the Packers. The relationship there is in trouble, and others are now weighing in. So Devontae Adams goes on with Colin Cowherd, The Herd, on Fox yesterday, was asked about how the situation impacts him. Here's what he said.
We established a lot together, so it would change a lot, man. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. There's certain things that, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants, and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. You know, that can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing.
All right, so this is just a disaster that is unfolding in front of their eyes in Green Bay. But look at the numbers. I mean, since entering the league in 2014, Devontae Adams has the 11th most receiving yards. He's up near the top in receptions. Only Antonio Brown has more touchdowns than his 62. Last year, he caught 115 passes. No one else caught more than 33 amongst the other wide receivers on the Packers. So he is critical, and obviously Rodgers is critical, and so this is a mess. So I see you shaking your head there, Jeff Darlington. What are people around the sport you're hearing from saying to you about the situation with Rodgers?
Well, just talking to people about their opinion mostly, general managers looking at Brian Gutekunst right now saying this is what happens. Like, this is the trickle-down effect of decisions like drafting Jordan Love and potentially upsetting your legendary Hall of Fame quarterback. Look, not everybody in the locker room loves Aaron Rodgers' leadership, but they do love the way he makes them money. Devontae Adams is one of his closest advocates in that locker room. So yeah, you lose him, you're going to feel an even bigger ripple down effect. Jason Light managed to bring 22 starters back to the Bucks. Do you think that was Jason Light because he's just a great salesman? Or do you think it's number 12 who's going to make people a lot of money, get them a lot of notoriety, and probably get them potentially another Super Bowl ring? Jason Light understands the quarterback makes his life easier. It doesn't necessarily feel like that's exactly the way it's going down in Green Bay.
Nothing seems easy in Green Bay right now, that's for sure. No, and like remember last year, Rodgers speaking glowingly of his relationship with Devontae Adams and all the rest. So we talked about this story a little bit on our first hour. Let me shift the topic here to the future for Aaron Rodgers. So if you had to pick the spot for him, because make no mistake about it, Aaron Rodgers is making it clear to anyone who will listen that he is out of Green Bay. So Jeff Darlington, give me the spot. What do you think is the best fit for Rodgers next year?
You know, it's funny, just like when we had this conversation about Tom Brady and it felt like San Francisco, for similar reasons, going home, playing for Kyle Shanahan, all these different reasons, it feels like San Francisco makes the most sense, but really, the Denver Broncos still, to me, make the most sense. The Denver Broncos are what the Tampa Bay Bucs were to Tom Brady. They have this roster there that maybe we don't talk about as a Super Bowl contender without Aaron Rodgers, but the second he signs, all of a sudden things start to come together. To me, it makes the most sense. It is the most logical landing spot, and quite honestly, also the most realistic landing spot.
What do you think, Bug?
You know, Greeny, Jeff makes a lot of great points, and we can talk about fit, where does he fit, who has the most salary cap space, but here's the bottom line. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP of this league. He's still got 3 to 5 years left to play at a high level. He fits anywhere, okay, at Sands, Kansas City, and Tampa. And I think even if you ask the Buccaneers in a private moment, they would say, hey, do you want 5 years of Aaron Rodgers or 2 years of Tom Brady? That the organization would probably be split, and Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl. So that's how good he is. So if there's a team out there, the Arizona Cardinals, you can look at the Cleveland Browns. We all think they have their franchise quarterback. But if you ask their GM in a private moment, hey, you can have Aaron Rodgers or the guy that you have, they all would take Aaron Rodgers. So Greeny, he is a transcendent talent. He's proven he's a top five player of all time at the position in the sport, in my opinion. And I think other than Kansas City, he could probably fit anywhere he wanted to if you ask that general manager.
It's a really good answer. I accept it completely. Mike Canabam, how about you?
I'm going to go with Denver. And here's what I would add to the discussion. It's also realistic from this standpoint. Aaron Rodgers has a no trade clause. And here's what I mean by that. If, let's say, the Philadelphia Eagles offer 3 first-round picks and Brandon Graham, and Green Bay says, great, we have a deal. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go to Philadelphia, there is no trade because every trade has the following clause in it. The player has to report and pass his physical. So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to report to Philadelphia, they're out. I think Denver is a win-win. A lot of young skill players. Denver could trade Patrick Surtain and Drew Lock to Green Bay. Green Bay may have a chance to then rebuild, so I think it's a place he would go, and they certainly have enough of the assets where they could possibly make this trade. But make no mistake about it, if Green Bay makes a trade and Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to go, there is no trade.
Yeah, they're sort of partners on this, which is why I think Denver is really the only place, and I think Jeff said it really well. That's a sleeping giant. They just, I mean, not that almost any team, to Booger's point, isn't Aaron Rodgers away, but that team is really Aaron Rodgers away. When you look at the potential weapons that they have, just looking for the right quarterback to unlock them, you look at their defense, it really is a little bit reminiscent of what Tampa Bay did a year ago. Let me take a break on that thought. We're talking about quarterbacks, right? Well, he's not a quarterback anymore, but Tim Tebow is close to returning to the NFL. Why Urban Meyer is rolling the dice with a guy who hasn't played a snap in over half a decade. It's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back, and for all the news in sports yesterday, the one that just blew up Twitter was this. The Jaguars expected to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year contract to play tight end, a position he has never previously played. Once he signs, Tebow will be reunited with Urban Meyer, who coached him at Florida. They won a pair of national championships together with the Gators. Tebow won the Heisman Trophy. He was one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time under Urban Meyer, but that was a very long time ago, and this is a vastly different situation. And I want to pick up this conversation somewhere near the middle because, Booger, as we talked about this earlier this morning, it was clear that this bothers you, and it bothers a lot of people, and I want to try and get to the bottom of why.
Well, Greeny, I think it bothers me because I think we all know in our heart of hearts Tim Tebow can't play tight end in the NFL. So you have to ask the question, why are we doing this? And this is no disrespect to him being a great athlete, but like they tried this years ago when he was a better athlete. So he's not going to make it. So why? Why is he doing this? Why are you someone who you care about in Urban Meyer? Why are you bringing this undue attention on the Urban Meyer? Now, Urban has to answer to the GM, the scouts, the team. He's got to answer all these questions. This is coming off a questionable hire and Chris Doyle as a strength coach that you turn around and he fired or resigned a couple days later. So if you really care about Urban, Tim Tebow, you want him to succeed. So why are you accepting? That's part one. Part two is if you're Urban, didn't you learn from one of the first mistakes you made in hiring Doyle? Like, didn't you learn that this is not college? This is not a dictatorship. This is a partnership. You have to partner with your players. You have to partner with the coaches. You have to partner with the GM. And I want to see these young men succeed. And I think Urban coming out of retirement puts this organization in a situation where they have a lot of notoriety. Everything is kind of pointing up in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence as the franchise quarterback. And I just think Urban is making some mistakes. And some of the players on a team that has a little talent are going to start looking at Urban sideways when it comes to this. And, you know, we can get to the point, Greeny, where we talk about he's taking up a roster spot from someone else. Here's the bottom line. There are 90 players on the roster. I can tell you 30 of them that aren't going to make the team the day we walk on the field at training camp. So I'm not bothered by having a player on the roster that's not going to make the team. We see that every year. I'm just bothered by having a player that's going to bring so much unnecessary attention and take the attention away from your number one overall pick. Take the attention away from some of the other players. I just don't understand why you would do it if you're Tebow to someone who you tell us you care about in Urban Meyer. So that's why it doesn't make sense on both sides.
Jeff Darlington, what kinds of things are we hearing from inside the building?
There's a serious disagreement within the building about the idea of Urban Meyer signing Tim Tebow. There are coaches on that staff who don't want to see it happen. And, you know, there are also, in the same breath, those who are saying, to Booger's point, it's not that big of a deal. Look, he's probably not going to be on the roster week one. To which you would say, well, then why do it at all? I think that Booger makes some really good points there. But it is just also important to remember, beyond the emotional side of this, beyond the wonders of why, is just the reality that it's really not practical. It's not likely to work, and it doesn't necessarily. Urban Meyer, I think, would say, well, hey, I'm going to add anybody to my team who has the potential to better this organization. To which you could look at this and say, well, how is this going to better the organization? There's just really not very much upside at all, to be quite honest.
If it's Tim looking to take steps towards becoming a coach, then you could theoretically just make him a coach. Go ahead.
And hire him as a coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greeny, I want to jump in here because people around the country are probably wondering why every sports station, every radio is talking about Tim Tebow. Here's the quandary with Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a really good college athlete who some people around the country think has been treated with a lot of privilege. Decent athlete that's been given a lot of things and a lot of chances. Other people look at him and say they love his story about faith and his relationship with God and perseverance and all these different things. The speech that he gave with Florida, and he's got his allegiance. He is polarizing because on one hand, everybody who believes in his values, they believe in Tim Tebow, regardless if he can play a down of football. And on the other side, you have the football people who say, you know what? Hey, it's great that you have your faith. It's great that you're a tough guy. It's great that you gave the speech, but you can't play football anymore. You couldn't hit a baseball. So why are we still talking about you? That's why the polarization of Tim Tebow is so big in America. And regardless of what station you're on today, regardless of what network you're listening to, the reason the opinion is so split is because of that reason. And that's why I think maybe that's why Urban is bringing him in, to take the attention away from Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he did that. To me, that's a dumb reason. You want the attention on your number one pick because he's got to be the face of your franchise for the next 10 or 15 years. But that's the reason why we're talking about it this morning. He's not a good player. OK, he's just a polarizing human, a polarizing former athlete that we can't stop talking about because the juxtaposition on both sides is just so strong, man.
That's well said. And it's a point well made. Mike T, let me come to you on personal experience. So it was 9 years ago when you were the general manager of the Jets. You brought Tim Tebow in. We talk all the time about the Tebow effect. Can you give us an example of what that actually was? What did it actually look like and feel like when he comes to the organization?
Yeah, I agree with what Booger said. Everyone had a strong opinion about Tim. You know, a lot of people thought we were smart. It made a lot of sense. Other people just thought it made no sense. Mark Sanchez was a young, successful quarterback. We actually brought him in to do some wildcat packages. We had a very specific role for him, but it was amazing. He was very polarizing. People had strong feelings either way on him. And when we compared it to what we did with Brett Favre, it was actually much more magnified, which was a surprise to us given the legendary status of Brett Favre. And to that point, I think when he walks into that locker room, it's going to be divided. There's going to be huge supporters of his, Greeny, and others are going to be like, what is he doing here as a 34-year-old backup tight end?
It is kind of complicated. And so just to finish it there, Jeff, like, how does this thing go from here? He's just a player in camp. And to Booger's point, a lot of players in camp don't make it. He was in camp with the Patriots once upon a time and didn't make it. Is that the expected outcome?
Well, yeah, I can tell you that people in the Jaguars organization are trying to sort of level their heads in that exact thought process. Like, we're not going to get too hot about this because, let's be honest, it's very unlikely he makes it through training camp. And so I think that's exactly the point that we can make here. But, you know, we talked about it with Brian Gutekunst too. Every decision you make in the NFL has a chain reaction. Jordan Love had a chain reaction. This too has the potential for a chain reaction for Urban Meyer. It's just something that you're going to have to consider.
Every action has an equal opposite reaction. Baseball coming your way tonight. American League East action. It's a good one. Game one of a 3-game set between the Yankees and Rays at the Trop. Jordan Montgomery and Ryan Yarbrough are your starting pitchers. That's tonight. Coverage starts 7 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up. All right, so we know that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will face each other in Foxborough. We don't know when. We will tell you why that information does matter. That's coming up next, and so is this. Sneaky Hembo time, and he's looking for Booger today. Which active quarterback has the best career record in primetime games? It's a schedule-related question, and the answer is next on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday on SportsCenter. Full coverage of the NFL's first ever 17-game schedule release. Find out when Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champs face Bill Belichick and the Patriots. The rookie QB battle of the top two overall picks. And when Patrick Mahomes will meet Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Coverage begins Wednesday at 6 Eastern on ESPN and continues on ESPN2 with a SportsCenter special at 8. Hosted by Monday Night Football's Steve Levy. Don't miss the live reveal of the must-see matchups in the biggest NFL season ever.
All right, so looking ahead to that, Booger, here's the question for you from Sneaky Hembo. Which active quarterback has the best career record in primetime games?
You know, I see the minimum 10 starts, and so I want to go to somebody that's just getting into the league like Lamar Jackson, but I feel like that is that's kind of a trick there. So I'm going to go with Old Faithful, a guy that's played a ton of games over the course of his career. I'm going with Tom Brady.
Oh, that's so close. He's number two. Number two behind Russell Wilson, who is 29-8-1 in primetime. Oh. He's number one. Brady is number two. Roethlisberger 3, Mahomes 4, and Dak Prescott is number 5. And all of this with the NFL schedule release, as you just saw, just one day away. The regular year will begin Thursday, September 9th. We anticipate the Buccaneers will be in their home stadium. Last time they were there, they won the Super Bowl there. So let's take a quick look at what we should be thinking about here. And to be clear, we already know what games are going to be played. Now we're just going to know when and in what order, and those things are important. So quickly, Mike Tannenbaum, what are the teams themselves looking at as this thing is released tomorrow night? What are you watching for?
Well, first of all, you're looking at how many consecutive games you may have away. If you're a team in the North, you want to know how many games you have to play in the South when it's hot. If you're in the South, you want to look how many games you have to play in the cold in the North. Depending on what part of the country you are, you want to know if you could go back to back if you're crossing the country or you're going overseas. Of course, while you're doing the screening, you're saying publicly, hey, it's just one game at a time, it doesn't matter, but it definitely matters. And the other thing you're doing, Greeny, is you're comparing yourself to your other three division rivals, and you want to make sure that, hey, if we got a cold climate game, they got a cold climate game. It really matters because, as we know, these tiebreakers, things are razor thin in the NFL. You want any conceivable edge you can get. And these schedules actually matter in terms of where these games are played and when they're played.
And Booger, we know one of the matchups is going to be Tom Brady going back to Foxborough, which figures to be an unbelievable spectacle regardless of when it happens. But Brady didn't play any cold weather games at all last year. What do you think? You want to see this one in the snow and in chilly Foxborough in December? Is that the hope and the expectation?
Yeah, Green, I don't want it in the snow. I don't want wind because I want a really good football game. But I do want the weather a little bit chilly. So late November, early December in Foxborough with Tom there. Monday night, Sunday night, prime time, where it's a standalone game so the entire country can watch. As far as the Patriots and the Bucks, I do want the Bucks to open up because there's been a lot of chatter on social media about who the Bucks should open up with. People say, well, what can be the best game or what game's going to draw the most eyeballs? To me, I don't think it's any question. Cowboys at Buccaneers, Dak Prescott, a retooled Cowboys defense at the defending champs to bring back all 22 starters. Cowboys at Bucks would set a record on opening night, in my opinion.
I agree. Now, the other argument to that is put that game anytime in the season, it'll set a record. I always thought, put a bad game in the very first spot because everyone's going to watch regardless. We've been waiting for a football game for 9 months at that point. Put whatever game you want in the opening game, and then we'll wait and see where it all winds up going. The Brady game, I think, would not be the one to pick for that. All right, sit tight, guys. We got much more football as we go. But let me get to the hoops because there's so much going on in the NBA. Let me run the floor, and we start with this. The Celtics star guard Jaylen Brown has a torn ligament in his left wrist. He's going to miss the remainder of the season. He was diagnosed with the injury over the weekend. He's expected to have surgery this week. I'm going to get into that with Jaylen in a moment. I'm also going to get into this. Russell Westbrook, we opened the hour with it, now stands alone in the record books with his 182nd triple-double coming last night against the Hawks. He moves past Oscar Robertson in the history books. He's the all-time leader in that category. Wizards wound up losing that game by one. And then another 30-plus point performance for Steph Curry. The Warriors needed every moment of it. His late three with 14 seconds left gave them a win over the West-leading Utah Jazz. Steph would finish with 36. And so for insight into all of these matters, we bring in the star of NBA Countdown, the star of Jalen and Jacoby, and just the most interesting Renaissance man in the world, the one and only Jalen Rose. And so, Jay, no one will go with me on my idea that Steph Curry should be the MVP because of all the things that he's bringing to the season. So let me just put it to you this way. Is he the best show in the sport? Is he the best thing the NBA has going for it this year?
He is. And it's not just this year, Greeny. It's when the Golden State Warriors started winning championships. And when you start talking about being a show, that means that you're able to attract multiple audiences. And how do you do that? Being a baby-faced assassin. And for Steph Curry, for public consumption, we get a chance to see him be a son, a husband, a father, a brother, a dad. He's likable. And also, he's a smaller guy. He doesn't play with a frown on his face like a Russell Westbrook. He's not flexing to the cameras and mean mugging. He has an infectious smile. And you know what else he has? Unlimited range. And what does everybody do when they first walk into a basketball gym? They don't get into a defensive stance. They shoot the ball. And then they shoot it from as far as they can. And Steph Curry is the first person that we've seen that can shoot it off the dribble, between the legs, crossover, behind the back, with accuracy. And also, Steph Curry is a volume scorer. Look at the kind of numbers he's been putting up. High 40s in 20 minutes. He does deserve to be in the top handful of players for the MVP conversation, Greeny. And yes, he is the best show in the NBA, but he's not the favorite for the MVP because his team is involved in the play-in for the NBA.
That's correct. And they may very well wind up playing LeBron and the Lakers. Give me a sense of that scenario. Lakers versus Steph and the Warriors in the play-in, a one-game single elimination scenario.
I don't know if Adam Silver drinks coffee, but if he does, he needs to have an extra cup of caffeine today. Because this is why this idea was brilliant to have a play-in. And by the way, Greeny, since doing this show with you since the beginning of time, since back in the day when we were doing four-hour hits, you know two words I hate in the NBA are not words you're hearing right now. Load management.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing load management? No. Because the 3-4-5 teams want to avoid being where the 6 team is because they don't want to be 7 through 10 and be involved in the play-in. And look at the names that are involved in it. LeBron, AD, Steph, Ja Morant. In the Eastern Conference, LaMelo Ball, Russell Westbrook. All of these players and teams are involved in the play-in. Story Brands, Los Angeles Lakers, Boston Celtics. They're involved in the play-in. We don't even have to talk about the top teams just yet. We're not talking about the Suns, the Jazz, the Clippers. We don't necessarily have to talk about the Nets, the Bucks, and Philadelphia. We're still focused on the play-in. That's the beauty of the idea.
I completely agree. I wanted to ask you about another team that is going to be involved in that scenario. When we started the show together, you and I, sitting right where I am right now, we were talking about the Boston Celtics as the team of the future. The team of the future. All of a sudden, they feel like the team of the past, and they never had a present. So my question to you is, where do we assign the blame, if that's the right way to look at it, for what feels like a team that has fallen short in Boston?
I'm going to start first with Danny Ainge. Because when we started this show and we were having a series where Jason Tatum was out there balling and Markelle Fultz was playing for Philadelphia getting DMPs, that means that you won the deal. And then the next year, you get Jaylen Brown in the lottery and he becomes an all-NBA performer. At that point, the Boston Celtics had their chance to cash their chips in the middle of the table and go get an all-NBA performer. They gambled on Kyrie Irving. And they lost. You remember when Kyrie said he was going to stay with the team? Well, he left. And ever since he left, now you're trying to replace Isaiah Thomas's productivity from a few years ago. So then you got it with Kyrie, and then all of a sudden you trade for Kemba Walker. And when you trade for him, he was all NBA. But this year he dealt with some injuries, and he wasn't an all-star. So now you're reaching now. You're going after Fournier. You're trying to go after bigs in the draft. They continue to strike out on bigs in the draft also. The Celtics haven't fortified their position at the 5 spot. So now you have Tatum, you have Brown, all NBA performers. You have some good pieces in Smart and Kemba Walker. But for a team that made the conference finals 3, I guess, of the last 4 or 5 years, and now you watch the Nets ascend. You watch Joel Embiid become an MVP candidate. You watch the Bucks and Giannis win back-to-back MVPs. And then the Raptors go on and win the championship. And then the Heat get Jimmy Butler, and they win the East. And now all of a sudden, you in the play-in? I think the fall guy will be no one. Danny Ainge will be back. Brad Stevens, we were also arguing, was he one of the best coaches in the NBA?
Yep.
Remember that? Now we can argue, is he one of the top coaches in the East? When you get a chance, think about the top coaches in the Eastern Conference. And I love Brad. You know, we have Indiana ties. But he deserves the level of criticism that most coaches deserve when they have 2 all-stars on the team. See, we're appreciating the Knicks this year and the Hawks this year because they're playing hard every night. And you know what else? Because they're better than teams like the Celtics, who had 2 all-stars this year.
Yeah, huge disappointment. Let me get one quick thought from you here. I just have a minute. But on Russell Westbrook, he breaks the record for 3-pointers. He is... Now, we've used the word polarizing a lot today. People have such different opinions on him. How do you put in perspective Russell Westbrook today?
So I'm going to tell you what made Russell Westbrook so polarizing. I hear so many people talking about his ability in this topic, but it's more than just his game. Here's the thing that happened with Russell. He averaged 9 points when he was in college. Just think about that. At UCLA, Russell Westbrook in two or three seasons, averaged 9 points. Okay, so now you get to the league and you play with Kevin Durant and you play with James Harden. Y'all make it to the finals. I remember singing for you, Greeny. They may be young, but they're ready. And they made it to the finals. And that year, people were already criticizing Russell Westbrook's game because they felt like he didn't defer to KD enough. Why don't you just fall in your lane and allow KD to be Batman? Why don't you just be Robin? And then all of a sudden, Harden leaves, KD becomes an MVP, but yet Russell still's leading the team in shot attempts. And a lot of people were upset at that. And then all of a sudden, the moment of truth happened. They were up 3-1 and they lost to the Golden State Warriors. KD leaves. As soon as he leaves, not only did he, via burner accounts and some of the lists that he's made up, slander Russ, but also the media did. We blamed Russ for KD leaving and we said KD would never win a championship with Russ. And you know what KD did? He went to the Warriors and won 2. I saw that movie before with Kobe and Shaq. Shaq was so very beloved by the media, so very beloved by the public. He left the Lakers. People were mad at Kobe because they felt like he chased Shaq off. And then Shaq won a championship with the Miami Heat. Shaq had a freestyle even talking about it during that period of time. And so Kobe had to rebuild his image with the public and with his peers. That's what Russ had to do when he won MVP. And then all of a sudden he went to Houston. And he and James didn't meet expectations. He took a lot of blame. Both of those guys are now gone. He had no expectations in Washington this year. He was banged up. He was hurt. And then all of a sudden, Russ did what he did the MVP year when KD returned. And they were calling him a cupcake. And he put the league on his back. And he showed everybody, I can average a triple-double. And he's done it for the last 5 years. Let me tell you guys something. I played in this league. I grew up loving basketball with all of my heart, right? I never in life thought somebody had passed the Big O's record. If Magic didn't do it, if Jason Kidd didn't do it, I felt like it could not be done. And when people say that it's empty calories, let me teach you something. If your point guard or your primary ball handler is leading the team in rebounds, that's a reflection of your big guys. That ain't a reflection of him. That same guy shouldn't also lead the league in points and assists. Brody is fantastic. He's unquantifiable because he doesn't shoot it like Steph. He isn't the leader of LeBron, so he doesn't have the multiple championships. Let's give him his respect and watch out for the Wizards in the play-in.
That is well said. That is Jalen Rose, J&J Today and Every Day here on ESPN. I will see you later, my man. As we continue, Paul Feinbaum loves it. Keyshawn hates it. Why Tim Tebow stirs such mixed emotions. That's next. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up, and the Jacksonville Jaguars set Twitter on fire yesterday with the expectation that they're going to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year contract to play tight end. He hasn't played in the NFL since the 2015 preseason, hasn't played in a regular season game since the end of 2012. Once he signs, he'll be reunited with his old college coach, Urban Meyer, with whom he won 2 championships. And here is Keyshawn Johnson from across the hall, ESPN Radio, KJZ every morning, and Paul Feinbaum joins us as well. Key, I will start with you. Just I'll give you the floor. What was your first reaction when you saw this yesterday?
I mean, I laughed. I was like, oh, man, are you serious right now? But I guess I understand it to a degree, but I don't understand it when you're talking about football. I mean, it's 8 years since he's actually took a hit in a real meaningful football game. So it's kind of like I don't really know what Urban Meyer's up to. I have no idea what they're doing, especially at a position where he's never played before. Tied in. If you're telling me that this is a guy that missed 1 or 2 years due to injury and his new coach is his old coach in college, or maybe even 3 years and he wants to come and give it a run, okay, I'm like, okay, he might, you know, who knows? But 8 years, Greeny, come on, man, stop.
It's a very long time. It is a very unusual story for so many different reasons. So, Paul Feinbaum, I would ask you, there's probably no better finger on the pulse of the fans' reaction in that part of the country than your radio show. What was the reaction yesterday?
They loved it. Greeny, folks that call me every day, you know, think Tim Tebow has been persecuted because he was never a starter after he was let go in the NFL. But here is the real thing that Keyshawn needs to understand. Keyshawn, you played in Hollywood. You're the number one player in the draft. Listen to me for a second. This is show business. Tim Tebow, who hasn't taken a hit since 2012, is already a bigger buzz story in the city of Jacksonville and maybe in the NFL than Trevor Lawrence, who's the best player coming out, and he's the first player taken. Think about that for a second. That's why Urban Meyer did it, in addition to the fact that they have a father and son relationship. They are joined at the hip. Urban lives three doors down from Tim. He wants him to be a coach at some point. He wants to be around him. This is not hard to figure out. So, Keyshawn, I'm coming up there right now. I'm taking you to a psychiatrist. I'm sitting you down on a couch, and I'm getting you serious help.
No, Paul, I get it. I understand the father-son relationship. I understand all that. And I have coaches that are coaching the NFL. And if I was a younger guy and I made a decision, hey, I think I want to play football again, they would certainly look at it and say, okay, let's try and see what he has left. But we're talking about 8 years,
yeah,
no play. And this is only May. So from May to August, there's really nothing but some hype behind it. I get it. But as we get into September and all the way into January and he makes the 53-man roster, I question, something's wrong there.
Well, look, very quickly, before I come back to Paul, the idea that it might take some of the attention and focus away from Trevor Lawrence, I could see that spinning either way. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for the rookie number one pick?
But I don't see it taking anything away, though.
No.
Like, what is it taking away?
Just all the attention. Everyone is talking about Tebow, the jersey sales, all that.
Yeah, but here's what it did happen. Tebow, Trevor Lawrence, and the players that's in that locker room that are not going to get a fair shot. That attention is now going to, hey, what do you think about Tim Tebow being signed with you? How come they cut this guy? Or what happened? How come they won't sign this guy? That attention is now coming into your locker room. Is that something that you want if you're Urban Meyer? Do you want your players questioning your motives and your moves? Because we all know that there's players around the National Football League, let alone inside that locker room, that are going to question Urban Meyer motives. Certainly.
Right. That's the yin and the yang of it. I see both sides. And Paul and I think very much alike because we're both talk show hosts. So we're always thinking about the story, and I'm completely with you. It is the story. But is it your expectation, Paul, that he is on the roster when the season begins?
I think it's reasonable to assume that. Greeny, as you know, I worked with Tim Tebow side by side for 7 years. And when you work with Tim Tebow, you check your ego at the door because it doesn't matter who you are. He is going to suck the air and the oxygen out of the room. That can be a positive or a negative. But I've seen Tebow do miraculous things. I'm not about to tell you he's going to be a great player in the NFL. But I know he's in good shape because I've been around him. And I think Tim Tebow understands a little bit more about this than maybe Keyshawn Johnson. Tim wants to help. He understands his career as a quarterback is over, but he has an effect on the locker room, Key, and you have to understand that. You have to understand one more thing. This is the worst team in the NFL, and we're talking about a tight end position. We're not talking about the Bucs here at quarterback. We're talking about the Jaguars at tight end.
But that one play, Key, you sort of were shaking your head when we...
I can't, though.
I know, we keep showing that play.
There's no sudden quickness. There's none of that. Yes, he's in great shape. There's no question about it. There's no sudden quickness. There's jogging. There's all those sort of things. Not only are you going to hinder the growth of the other players, you're going to stress the tight end coach out trying to get him ready to even understand the damn position. I get what Paul is saying. Yes, he's polarizing. Yes, he can come into the locker room and galvanize everybody and get them fired up. This is the National Football League, man. This is not the University of Florida. He is not in charge. He is not a player in charge in that locker room.
Very quickly, I have 20 seconds for this, and Paul will do it again on radio. We'll have a little more time for it. Is this an indication that Urban Meyer is treating this like he is the boss of all things the way you are when you're in college?
Absolutely. That's who Urban Meyer is. We saw that with the strength and conditioning coach a couple of months ago. Nobody else would have hired that guy, but Urban Meyer has a blind spot. But the one thing about Urban Meyer, Greeny, he's hard-headed, but he's not stupid. He knows what he's doing here. He knows what the end game is, and the end game is to get Tim Tebow into that franchise and into that coaching locker room in some way or shape or form.
Just hire him as a damn coach then.
That's one of the thoughts. Paul, we'll talk about this on the radio in 20 minutes. Speaking of radio,
I can't listen to Paul, man.
Keyshawn on KJZ. Let me take a break, and when we come back, it'll be time for First Take here on ESPN. Russell Westbrook, the triple-double king of the NBA. Where does he rank all time among point guards? First Take has the answer. They follow us, top of the hour, right here on ESPN. All right, on Thursday, we're going to premiere ESPN Films' latest documentary. It's called 144, an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble. The executive producer is our very own Chinne Agumuke. The film explores the season dedicated to social injustice, everything the players overcame to get through it. It debuts 9 Eastern Thursday night on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it's available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. I will be coast-to-coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. First Take, talking Russell Westbrook and more, starts now.